Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It will be President Barack Obama and the first to sit at the top of a national ticket. The very first Mormon to run for president in November will be one of those men. It is a real possibility. I don't watch the political winds that closely anymore, but it's a real possibility. Anything could happen. That there will be a Mormon president of the United States. And what would that mean for Mormons? What does it mean now that Mitt Romney, former governor of Massachusetts and a fellow Mormon, is running for president, will be on the ticket for president, will be choosing a running mate? I even heard speculation over the weekend, will he choose a Mormon as a running mate? And the answer was no. He's got enough to explain with his own connection to Mormonism. What does it mean for Latter-day Saints? Bill McKeever joins us. He's founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, and he's author of several books, including his latest, In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotation. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. You're out there in Mormon country. What's the mood with respect to a Romney candidacy?
Well, there's a lot of excitement, as to be expected. I mean, this is a church that's gone from, you know, being considered the dregs of religion to look where it's come now. I mean, it's become something that actually could occupy the White House. And so there's excitement. But at the same time, I find that there's a little bit of cautious optimism, if you will, because there are a lot of Mormons that know very well that Romney's rise to the presidency is going to cause a lot of spotlights to be on their faith. And some are actually kind of worried about how that's going to be interpreted. So I guess you could say there's some mixed emotions out here. But for the most part, from what I'm hearing, a lot of Mormons are pretty excited about it.
Is there something in Mormon theology that for, certainly not all, but for some Mormons, maybe those in the know, would say to them that in some sense, if not Romney, then someday this is their destiny in America?
Well, you could say that, I guess, because their founding prophet, Joseph Smith, was running for president at the time he was killed at Carthage Jail. So that certainly is something that they've probably aspired for, you could say, ever since the very beginning. Now, there was what was called the White Horse prophecy that gets brought up about every election when a Mormon's running, that has to do with one little phrase especially in it that talks about the Constitution hanging by a thread and the government having to call in the elders of the church to restore it. Now, that portion of this alleged prophecy has been cited by several Mormon leaders, although the whole prophecy in its entirety has been denounced by several leaders, so it's kind of a mixed bag with that. There are people who have actually run for public office here in Utah based on their understanding of that White Horse prophecy. In fact, even in my district here in this part of Utah, there was a guy that was running for Congress who actually attributed that White Horse prophecy to his running for office. He didn't win, but he did point to it. I think that prophecy kind of brings up a lot of embarrassment to the leadership of the church, because if you actually looked at the prophecy as it's alleged to have been written down in its entirety, there's a lot of things in there that certainly could never happen. And if Joseph Smith really said these things, it's nothing more than one more strike against his calling as a prophet of God.
What's the theological connection between Mormon theology and the United States of America?
Well, of course, they attribute a lot of, how do I put this? America is very important in Mormon roots because for many of the Mormon leadership, especially in the early years, America was the promised land. This is where the people in the Book of Mormon actually came. Now, that's not an idea that a lot of Mormons hold to today. It's kind of split. There is no real official position as to where the Book of Mormon lands were actually located. Some it was in the Heartland, which is the North American setting. Guys like Glenn Beck would hold to that position. But most of the BYU professors, they tend to hold to the limited geography theory down in Central America. So America is very important to a lot of Latter-day Saints. You could say it's somewhat nationalist in that respect. It's important to them.
When Joseph Smith ran for president, the news accounts that have been talking about this lately, you're familiar with them as well, say that Joseph Smith was running for president to highlight, you know, in the days before television and the internet, to highlight the persecution of his followers. But did he have, as far as we can tell, greater aspirations than just to an awareness campaign?
You mean like bringing in a theocracy?
Yeah.
Some hold to that position. Again, getting an official response out of the church on something like that might be difficult. The Mormon Church is kind of funny. They want to claim to have living prophets that speak for God, but they get real nervous if you start quoting what their living prophets have actually said. They tend to hide behind this word official, and whenever you bring something up that a Latter-day prophet may have said in its past, they'll say, well, that's not official, even though they taught it while they were alive, and many people did believe it, but it's come to be a doctrine that maybe embarrasses them a little bit. So it would be difficult to get the Mormon Church to come out and give an official position on that.
I think it's safe to say, and you mentioned this before, the kind of the slight nervousness that you think might be at work among some Mormons with the prospect of a Romney presidency, I think that it would be a tremendous challenge. It's one thing to have a man who's running at the top of one of the two national parties for president, and I think people have been very polite. The press has been very polite about Mormonism to this point, and probably for good reason. But if he goes to the White House, It becomes an issue that people are going to want to know about. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the official response of the Mormon Church will be?
Oh boy, the official response. Here we go again. I don't know. Do they have official responses on anything anymore? That's a great question, Todd. Of course, this has never happened before, so we're kind of going into new territory. I know there are a lot of concerns among non-Mormons as to what would a Romney presidency look like. Would he use his Mormonism or his position, as president to further his Mormonism? In your opening, the question was asked, would he pick, for instance, a Mormon vice president? I tend to agree, no, that's probably not going to happen. I think Romney is very much the politician, and he knows that his Mormonism is in the line of fire for many people, and I don't get the impression that he would be so unwise as to flaunt that when a lot of people are very suspicious about that aspect. That's a tough one. I don't really know. I don't know what's going to happen with this. I do know that the Mormon Church likes to take a very, very much a back seat when it comes to political issues, although they have broken ranks with that policy, especially when it came to Proposition 8 in California. They were in the forefront with money and resources, people trying to get that proposition passed. Will they ever do something like that again after the beating they took from the homosexual community afterwards? I don't know. That remains to be seen.
Would a spotlight turned like that upon Mormonism, and it would probably be the Salt Lake brand of Mormonism, if in the event of a Romney presidency, do you think it would cause them to... What do you think the... I mean, you watch these things. Do you think it would result in Mormonism being considered more mainstream, as it has been increasingly in the last 25 years, maybe they're not as mainstream as we all thought they were?
Yeah, that's a great question, too. That is a concern that many people have. When they say mainstream, I have to almost ask what their definition of that word is. I don't know as if it's going to make Mormonism appear more Christian. I think it may make it appear, of course, more accepted, as not as strange as a lot of people think that it is. And I personally do think Mormonism is really out there when it comes to a lot of its doctrines. Many of the doctrines they have never denounced, they still hold to them. They just don't like to broadcast them as loudly as they used to back in the 19th and early 20th century. I don't see them trying to I've heard some people say, well, he's going to turn the country into a Mormon theocracy. I go, no, he's not going to do that. I can't imagine him trying anything like that at all. But certainly having a Mormon in the White House is going to grant some level of legitimacy to his religious faith. Is it going to cause a lot of people to call up Mormon missionaries and want to take the missionary lessons? I don't think so. I don't know. Again, this is new ground. A lot of it remains to be seen.
Well, if I'm a reporter, the very night that Romney is elected, if that were to happen, I'm trying to get an interview with the living prophet.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to Monton?
Thomas Monson.
Yeah,
Thomas
I want to talk to Monson. I want to talk to him. I want to ask him, well, you're the head of this church, at least this branch of the church. What do you say? What do you have to say for your guy? I'm going to ask questions like that. Is he going to grant any interviews?
That's another great question. Hinckley now probably no doubt would have. Hinckley was very much the kind of guy that would go out there in the spotlight and grant interviews. I'm sure Monson probably will, because he probably sees he has no real choice. If he doesn't, it's going to look like he is hiding something. But do I think Monson is going to be clear and forthright? Should he grant an interview and someone was to ask him specific questions about his faith? I think he'll probably answer much in the same way that a lot of their newsroom website articles answer questions, either very vague or even denying doctrines that they're currently teaching in their manuals right now, which can be very confusing. If he does that, I think it invites criticism that should be there, because I think a person's religious worldview should probably guide the way they govern. I would think so. I would think that if I was ever president, I have a certain worldview, and I think that I would want to govern according to that worldview. Why wouldn't Romney want to do that as well?
Bill McKeever is our guest and with us for another 10 minutes on the other side of the break. We're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 20th of June. We're talking about what Mitt Romney's nomination means to Mormons in general. He's founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, author of several books, including his latest, In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations. Stay tuned. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues Etc.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about, in a lot of ways, the big picture of the political fortunes of Mormonism in the United States, what Mitt Romney's nomination means for Mormons. Bill McKeever is our guest. It's remarkable to me to see not only how religion is handled in a presidential race, but how something that is as odd as Mormonism is being handled in a presidential race. Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry in Draper, Utah, and you'll find a link to Mormonism Research Ministry under the Listen On Demand page at our website. You mentioned before the break the equivocation. That's the nice way of saying it. Saying one thing in your manuals, teaching one thing to your faithful, and then when someone from outside the church comes calling, in some cases, as you have rightly pointed out, outright denying the doctrines that you're teaching. Why the equivocation?
You know, I scratch my head over that, Todd. Eric and I just did a whole series of radio shows dealing with this new newsroom. Well, it's not all that new, but on their newsroom site, they have what's called Mormonism 101, no relation to our book, but Mormonism 101 FAQ. And it has a whole list of things asking, well, do Mormons believe this? And one of the questions on there, and I couldn't believe this, said, do Mormons believe they're going to get their own planets? The answer, no. And I, when I read that, I couldn't believe it because, as I mentioned, this is being taught right now, not in just one manual, but two manuals that the Mormon Church currently use, where it flat out says they do believe that they're going to get their own worlds. Now, if they're just trying to play a semantics game and say, well, we never said planets, oh yeah, but we do believe worlds and Earth, that's really not even being totally honest. But to deny this concept that exalted Mormons are not going to get their own worlds after they achieve godhood is certainly a doctrine that has been taught in much of Mormonism's history. And to act as if that's not a doctrine today when your own manuals are still teaching it, to me, is just unconscionable. And I think that could be one of Romney's biggest problems, because he is a member of a church that has a history of being very cloudy and vague about what it actually believes. If you talk to just about any Christian who has taken the time to talk to their Mormon neighbors about what they specifically believe, many Christians walk away feeling like they weren't being told the whole story. And that's a problem. But that's what we have in Mormonism.
Let's see what Chet has to say. He's calling from East St. Louis. Hi, Chet. Thanks for waiting.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my call. I heard you mention that when Joseph Smith was killed at Carthage, he was about to launch a presidency. I was thinking about the fact that the culture at that time was a lot more Christian-oriented, so there would have been a different response or backlash as opposed to that. I was probably about, 6 or 7 years old when JFK ran for presidency. It was a big hoopla for him just being a Catholic. But in today's culture, I think people that are religious people or Christians are nominal at best. So it's kind of like it's an anything-goes culture. But my question was just how devout a Mormon is it, Romney? You know, we got guys that run for office now, even the current sitting president. You know, he says that he's a Christian, but from some of his policies and whatnot, it doesn't indicate that he's really a devout believer as what he should be as being a Christian. So how devout of Mormon, how committed to Mormonism is Mitt Romney?
That's a great question, Chet. Thank you very much.
It is. It's an excellent question. Now, from all indications, Romney does seem to be a very devout Latter-day Saint. We have no reason to believe, because he is, from what I understand, he is has a temple recommend. He goes to the temple, and when they go to the temple, they make covenants, you know, to live up to the standards of the Mormon Church, to support the leadership and such. I think it needs to be pointed out as well that just recently, just in October of 2010, two LDS general authorities reintroduced to the Mormon membership an old speech called the 14 Fundamentals in Following the Prophet. And in that speech that Ezra Taft Benson taught back in the 1980s, point number 9 said the prophet can receive revelation on any matter, temporal or spiritual. On point number 10, it says the prophet may be involved in civic matters. And he said those who would remove prophets from politics would take God out of government. Now, this was just done recently. If Romney is as devout as he claims to be, he has to take these sermons seriously. The question that I've been wondering is, what is Romney going to do with how that sermon ended? Because the way Benson ended it was he said, the prophet and the presidency, the living prophet and the first presidency, follow them and be blessed, reject them and suffer. Of course, the question then becomes, what is a worst-case scenario should Romney be listening to what Thomas Monson is saying? Is Monson going to try and tell him how to run the show? I don't know. I tend to think he probably won't, and certainly not overtly. But again, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen with this.
Chet raised the question about kind of the reversal of political fortunes for Mormonism, at least with regard to American politics. I note in one of the press coverage of this, it was either the Boston Globe or somewhere else, where in 1902, Reed Smoot, he was the first Republican Utah senator who was a Mormon, but the Senate refused to seat him, at least initially, until he won a landmark Supreme Court case. But he was refused a seat on the U.S. Senate because he was a Mormon, and now no one's really making a huge deal about qualifications with regard to Mitt Romney and his Mormonism.
Yeah, they're kind of downplaying, I think probably because I think the press knows that if they go after him overtly on his religious issues, then it becomes fair game to go after Obama's religious issues. And, of course, he doesn't want that being brought up again. So it's kind of like this unspoken truce that we're not going to deal with that issue. And Romney, I can understand why Romney pragmatically would not go after Obama's religious heritage, because he knows that's going to turn on him and then all the questions are going to come up. We here at MRM, we're not changing anything that we're doing. We're just dealing with the subject of Mormonism as we always would. Let the chips fall where they may. We don't tell people how to vote or anything like that. But I do think Christians need to carefully weigh both sides of this issue. And it comes down to, you know, I don't know how to say it nicely, so I won't say it at all. It's not going to be a fun election for me, that's for sure.
Francis is listening in High Ridge, Missouri. Hi, Francis.
Hi. My question is regarding Mormons and their belief in end times and maybe an apocalyptic view. Do we have anything to fear from a Romney presidency in regard to him interpreting different world events and perhaps, you know, starting a nuclear war, worst-case scenario?
No, I don't know of anything like that. I don't think you can expect anything like that to happen. I mean, they do have some kind of strange end-time views as far as Jesus returning to Missouri and the garden, you know, the New Jerusalem being set up in Missouri, but that's about it. So I wouldn't worry in that area.
So is it your sense, you said it wouldn't be a fun election for you, and I take that's because you have strong misgivings about someone who would buy into Mormonism.
Well, yeah, I do. I go all over the country speaking, and I have talked to pastors and religious leaders about this, and I'm finding that they are really split on this. I know I have pastors on both sides, many of whom I really highly respect. Some will not vote for a Mormon, and some don't see a problem voting for a Mormon. And I kind of understand both of their sides. I deal a lot with ex-Mormons who have been really hurt by this religion, who could never vote for a person who belongs to the very religion that hurt them profoundly. But yet, at the same time, their political persuasion is such that they certainly don't want to see someone like Obama be reelected. And that becomes a real dilemma. You have conservatives that aren't happy with Romney, mainly because of his politics. He's not really all that conservative, so they don't know what he's going to do. Is he going to really be that much better? Is he going to solve the problem or merely slow the bleeding? Who knows? I'm from California, you know, originally, so I'm used to holding my nose whenever I vote, so... I don't know what's going to happen.
With only 30 seconds here, if Romney were elected, do you think that it would be, from the Mormon perspective, at the end of 4 years, they were glad he was elected, or they're saying, we're tired of the spotlight, we're tired of the questions?
Boy, that's a million-dollar question, Todd. I really don't know. I'll tell you one thing, though. If Romney was to become president, I'm going to be super busy, because already I'm getting people asking questions from all over the place. So I'm going to be one very busy person for the next 4 years if he was to be elected. And as far as I'm concerned, getting the most information out, I think, is going to prevent a lot of people from getting into Mormonism, which is certainly what we're wanting to do. We want to keep people from going into it, and certainly we want to reach the people that are already into it so that they can find a saving faith in the Jesus of the Bible.
Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, and he's author of several books, including his latest, In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations. Bill, thanks a lot. I know you will be busy one way or the other.
Thanks, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the historic liturgy, talking to Pastor Will Whedon about the entrance, the introit, the Kyrie, the Gloria. We've talked about the confession and absolution. Now we move on to those. Well, it's a psalm, but it's also an entrance. It is a cry for mercy, but not the last one that you'll hear in the liturgy, and a song of praise. Also tomorrow, we'll discuss the parable of the prodigal son with Pastor Joel Frischi of Zion Lutheran Church in Staunton, Illinois. Here's a message left by Connie on Monday at our Facebook fan page. Connie says, "Thank you, Issues Etc., for helping us find a church as we drove through Rapid City." She's talking about our Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org, which is a list of the Issues Etc. 300, a growing group of congregations that support Issues Etc. to the tune of $1,000 or more in their mission or advertising budget. Your congregation can be one of those and join the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org. Go and look at the list, and your congregation would fit well among them. All you got to do is ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300 by printing off that one-page flyer that you'll find at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The one-page flyer will tell you and your congregation everything they need to know about joining the Issues Etc. 300. And there is a deadline for many congregations. They start a new fiscal year July the 1st, and there may well be time. It's never too late to ask, but keep asking anyway. There may well be time before that deadline in your congregation to have your congregation include Issues Etc. in their budget and become part of the Issues Etc. 300. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.